and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
All right, are you ready for the word? Yeah. We had a wonderful time in church this morning. It's great to be back up here. 2 years. 2 years. I've missed you. It's good to be back up in the north of England. For those of you who haven't worked out my accent, it's okay. My vocal cords are very confused. But I live down the south near Brighton now with my wife, Lisa, and our two miracle girls, Lila Hope, and she's nearly 5 years old, and Lucille Faith. Okay, and their middle names were very intentional because after the loss of baby Elle, my wife and I really had to hang on to both hope and faith. And we were told that we may never have children. You know, we have been on quite the journey. But how many of you know that we serve a God, as Ed said, where nothing is too hard for him? And he blessed us with two beautiful girls, Lila Hope and Lucille Faith. Hope and faith, two things you must never let go of. And so they're watching tonight. They send their love. And one day, maybe you'll get to meet them. Maybe. Hey, keep praying for them that they continue to look like their mum. I don't make a good-looking girl, you know. So that's good too. Anyway, let's pray. And then we'll get into the word tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do indeed thank you for all that you've been doing through Valley Church over the many years and especially in this past season. But tonight, as we reflect and think about Christmas, as we gather around your word, Lord, I ask that you would speak through me. I pray that there would be authority in my voice. Lord, I pray that there'll be simplicity in my delivery. Lord, I ask that every man, woman, and child in this building and watching online will leave this place different to the way they came in. Lord, I pray, I ask that minds will be renewed, that souls will be refreshed, that hearts will be transformed. Oh Lord, would you encourage your people tonight? Lord, would you speak a word to them that is in season? Lord, that you're going to answer the questions that they may have. Oh God, may we hear from heaven this evening. And a faith-filled church said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, the title of my message is this: Finding Joy in the Journey. Finding Joy in the Journey. In December 2009, I was honored to be the groomsman at one of my good friend's wedding. He had asked me earlier in the year, so I had plenty of time to prepare. And I needed it, as the wedding was to be in Auckland, New Zealand. Now, I had studied and lived in Australia for 2 years. That's actually where I met Dave and Mel. They weren't Dave and Mel Scholes back then, but, you know, I was there right at the beginning. That's right at the beginning. So I was familiar with Australia and traveling long haul. However, New Zealand is that little bit further. And so I remember on a cold December morning, leaving my house. I was then living in Norwich. I drove 3 hours down to Heathrow. I had a 3-hour wait at the airport, then a 13-hour flight to Singapore, then a 3-hour layover in Singapore, followed by an 8-hour flight down to Sydney, a 5-hour layover in Sydney, then a 3-hour flight to Auckland, New Zealand. Now, how many people know that that is a long journey? That is a lot of traveling. I wonder, give me a wave if you have ever been on a long journey. A few of you. Now, come on. Now, I'm not talking about a 10-minute walk to work or a 20-minute cruise to the slow cruise to your favorite drive-through, McDonald's. I'm talking about a 24-hour trek or a two-day car journey down to France, your favorite holiday destination. Or maybe like me, you have been on multiple flights to some far, far-fetched nation. Do you know, although travel can be a lot of fun, it can also be challenging too, especially when you encounter delays, diversions, distraction, and you are desperate to make it to your intended destination. Now, I must say from the start that not every journey we embark on needs to involve a physical mode of transport. Life itself is a journey, full of twists and turns, ups and downs, happiness and heartaches. As this calendar year draws to a close, and the sun sets on another year, I have found that Christmas is a common time for people to reflect on our own journey. For some of you, December is your favorite time of the month. It's a time for family, for friends, and for fun. But for others, Christmas is a time of dread. Your schedule is too busy. You spend too much money. You have to deal with those painful memories that flood back every single Christmas. You see, whether you recognize it or not, every single one of us are on a journey. We are all on a journey which can be both exhilarating and exhausting. A journey which can take you along unknown roads, but also well-traveled paths. A journey that takes time. Yes, some seasons pass you by quicker than others, but you are not going to accomplish everything God has mapped out for your life in the next week. Life is not a sprint. It is a process, a book in which some chapters have been finished, but that there are still chapters yet to be written. And yet through it all, the Bible says, you know, there will be things to learn. There will be trials to overcome, situations to navigate. However, the Bible is clear that through it all, we can all experience an authentic and supernatural joy, no matter where we are or who we are facing at your particular part of the journey. This joy is available to you. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Do you know the Bible is not talking about happiness here? And nor am I. There is a difference between the two. Happiness is an emotion. It is a natural reaction to the situation you find yourself in, a feeling that comes over you when you know that life is good. The joy, however, that the Bible talks about is not dependent on our circumstances. Joy is the ability to be content, believing that God is working all things together for your good. It is a gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being full of His Holy Spirit. Oh, give me a wave if you need a bit more joy in your life. There isn't anyone in here or watching online that doesn't need a little bit more joy. And so my assignment tonight comes from a well-known passage in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, and I'm going to summarize just a few verses and then I'll read a few to you. I know that Pastor Dave last week actually spoke on some of this and he preached a phenomenal message. And if you haven't heard it, I'd encourage you to go back and watch it because it was really good. I had it on my way up to Preston yesterday, my 5-hour car journey. It was worth it, Dave, just to hear your voice. It was worth it. It was very good. So let me tell you what's going on in Matthew 2, verse 1 to 9, and then I'll read you some verses. But Jesus had just been born in Bethlehem, and some magi from the east, and I'll explain who the Magi were in just a moment, had traveled a great distance to worship Jesus via the following of a star. Now, the king of the land back then was a guy called Herod. And Herod was not a nice piece of work. In fact, he was very disturbed about all the things he'd been hearing about this baby, Jesus. In fact, he wanted to kill him. So he asked the Magi to report back to him once they had found where this baby Jesus was. And so I want to pick up the story here in verse 9. It says this: when they heard the king, the Magi departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So here are some Magi who embarked on a journey of a lifetime. Some Bible scholars say that this trip took weeks. Others say months. Some say it took between 1 and 2 years. Whatever the exact length of time was, we do not completely know. But one thing for certain, this was not a quick trip. This was a long journey, and no doubt these wise men encountered their own challenges along the way. I say that they were a group of wise men because nowhere in the Bible does it say that there were only three of them. I think we've all been fooled by the images depicted on Christmas cards and paintings, or that well-known carol that my four-year-old daughter has been singing on repeat to me for the last month, "We Three Kings from Orient Are." Oh, I hit a high note there myself. Yes, they bought three different types of gift, but that does not mean that there were only three people. It was a group, a very important group. But who were they? Who were the Magi? Well, they were men known for their intellect, for their studying and learning of things such as philosophy and astronomy and astrology. Such as their learning. That is why they inherited the title wise men. They were not kings. We know that they lived in another country. They were Gentiles, but they had been awakened within to pursue this star which they had seen in the east, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from where they lived. They knew that this star was not just a case of astrology. It was not another comet. It wasn't a conjunction of planets. It wasn't some exploding star. Oh no, far from it. This was a supernatural star set in the sky by God to announce and declare the coming birth of Jesus Christ. This was not something to be missed. So off they went. Off they went. Whether they went by camel or donkey or on horseback, or whether they walked by foot, or whether it was a combination of them all, they went on their way carrying all these three different types of treasures. But as their journey neared its end, we read that they had exceedingly great joy. And that is what I want to focus on right now. What was it? What was it in these men? What was it about their journey? What was it about them that gave them exceedingly great joy despite going on a long and arduous journey? Oh, are you with me tonight? For those of you that's not heard me before, I do like to shout a little bit and sweat a little bit and get a bit excited. But that's only because I love Jesus. And so I'm just warming up. So I want to give you three lessons from the Magi. that I believe is going to help you find joy in your journey right now. The first is this, lesson number one, is that you need to look upward and not inward. Matthew 2:9 says that when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed that a conventional star does not appear to move because it is billions of miles away in space? These wise men knew that this star was unusual because a normal star does not seem or does not appear to move in front of a person and then stop. A normal star doesn't do that. It does not move and then stop. Move and then stop. Move and then stop. This star was a special, divinely appointed light which served as a guide for these men as it led them towards Jesus' house. But if you look at this properly, you will see that to follow this star must have meant that their gaze was transfixed on the sky daily. If that star was on the move, they could not afford to take their eyes off of this thing. To move and then stop, to move and then stop, to move and then stop. They were looking upward. Do you know, I love a clear, starry night. Growing up, my father had a telescope. And it was always fun to go out into the evening on a dark, dark night with him and look up at the stars. Even now, it's one of my favorite things to do, especially after a long day or a challenging season that I find myself in. For when I look at the stars, it helps me relax, it helps me reflect, it helps me think, but it also reminds me every single day how small I am, but how big, how mighty, how marvelous, how supreme my God is. It forces me physically to look up. To look up. And just for a moment, take my eyes off of myself and my problems, my heartache and my challenges. Just look towards Him. Oh, the journey these wise men were on wasn't a test to show others that they were competent in using a compass. It was a lesson from God that if you are to truly discover a deep joy in life, then it starts by looking up daily. By looking towards our Father in heaven daily. To fix your eyes on Him and Him only. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And verse 8, listen to this. It goes on to say that the Lord will watch over your coming and your going. You're moving and you're stopping. You're moving and you're stopping. He will watch over your every step. Oh, how encouraging is that scripture that not only does God take time to watch over your every move, but God delights in being your guide. Oh, He delights in being your guide. In the front of the Bible that I took to Bible college all those years ago, my mum wrote a message in the front page to encourage me. And this Bible still sits on my desk today. It is dated, her note to me is dated the 18th of January, 2006. And at the bottom of her short encouragement to me, she wrote a scripture from Isaiah 42, verse 16. And it says this, along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. That's the word of God. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. And how true that has been for me. Do you know God wants to be your guide in life? But what good is a guide if you do not follow them? They're no good at all. And so whatever you are facing right now on your journey, my encouragement to you would be, look up. Look up. Perhaps this year, something unexpected has come into your life. There's been a sudden change in your health. Perhaps someone close to you has passed away. Maybe you've experienced a relationship breakup or a relationship breakdown in the family. Maybe you've been forced into a career change, or that dream that you were pursuing has been completely shattered in front of your eyes. Do you know when life throws you a curveball, or you've been walking a particular challenging path for a long period of time, it is very easy to take your eyes off God. We think that God has forgotten about us, that He hasn't heard our prayers, that He isn't helping us like we thought God was going to help us. And so over time, we become discouraged and we start to look inward or downward or even around at other people. We try doing things in our own strength. We compare our journey and our misfortune to those around us. And over time, that fight, that drive, that passion we once had to get out of bed in the morning and go after those things that God has planned for us in our day, we lose it. We lose it because we wonder, where is God? And why isn't He working in my situation? Oh, friend, can I tell you this? That the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't gone anywhere. You've stopped looking up. You've stopped looking up. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 is a very well-known scripture. But I love it. It says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do you know what acknowledge means? Acknowledging Him means look to Him, pray to Him, follow Him, read your Bible each day, make a bit more room for God in your life, put Him first in all you do. You know, my favorite verse in the Bible, I read it when I was 20 years old, and I think about it almost daily, is this Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It means put God first. Put Him first and He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He promises that He will make straight your paths, that He will be a lamp unto your feet, that He will direct your steps, that He will turn the darkness that stands before you into light. He will make those rough places that you're experiencing smooth. I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. But you need to look to Him. You need to acknowledge Him. Oh, it's not that you won't have trouble in life. You will. But let that trouble cause you to hang on to Jesus that little bit tighter. Let it push you towards Him that little bit more. Oh, there is something powerful, something special about journeying with Jesus. Don't ever lose that wonder of walking with Him. Even when the times get tough, stay adventurous, stay in faith, stay full of optimism. The Magi experienced exceedingly great joy on their journey because they followed the star and not themselves. Church, when our eyes are focused on God and His goodness, then you will at some point run into a supernatural joy that goes beyond your understanding. Look up. For wherever God guides, He provides. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, God is guiding you. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, God is guiding you too. Some of you husbands are in trouble on the way home. You're going to have one of those car conversations. Turn the wrong way first. You turn the wrong way first. The second lesson from the Magi. that is going to help you find joy in your journey is this. Number two is that you need to make worship a priority. And I know Dave actually touched on this when I listened to his message back yesterday. But Matthew 2:11 says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." You know, when I finally landed in New Zealand after that long 36 hours of traveling, I was so tired that I could barely think or talk. All I wanted to do was sleep. You know, when you have traveled a long distance, it is not always a guarantee that you will arrive at your destination with a smile on your face. Yet the very first thing these Gentile philosophers, highly intellectual, wise men did when walking into this house was to fall down to the ground and worship a small child, a babe, no more than 2 years of age. Well, think about that for a moment. Wow. Wow. What a sight to behold. All those many miles traveled through the desert with one thing in their mind, to get into the presence of Jesus. They are here to worship Jesus. Do you know, I adore Christmas and all that comes with it. However, in the excitement of all the festivities, it can be easy to forget why we celebrate Christmas. The to-do list takes on a more prominent role than what it normally does. There are the decorations that must go up on a certain day, the presents which need to be purchased, the food from your favorite store once collecting. Then there's the Christmas cards that have to be delivered, the presents. Then there's the staff party to consider. Then there's that when you'll find the time to sit down and watch your favorite Christmas movie, which for me is a tie between The Snowman and The Muppet Christmas Carol. Anyone else agree? Three of you. Is that all? I'm having Christmas with you, I'm telling you. We can become so focused on what has to get accomplished, so worn out by running around after everyone and everything, that by the time the 25th of December arrives, we've forgotten the very reason for the season. The worship of Jesus. You can't have the true joy of Christmas without the worship of Jesus. You can't have it. It's all about Him, Emmanuel, God with us. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. You know, my two little girls have chocolate Advent calendars, and they love them. As soon as they come down the stairs for breakfast each morning, they don't want to give me a hug. They don't want to give me a kiss. They don't want their honey hoops anymore. All they want is the chocolate. The Advent calendar allows them to count down the days and how many sleeps there are until Father Christmas comes. But do you know the real reason for Advent and the introduction of those calendars? Was so that in the build-up for Christmas, every time, every morning we wake up and open one of those numbered doors, it's done deliberately so that we reflect, celebrate, and remember the birth and the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what those calendars are all about. And we shouldn't miss that in this season. But you know, our worship should not only be reserved for the Christmas season. We are to worship our God daily, our praise and our worship daily. The Bible says in Psalm 95, verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Psalm 100 says, "Shout to the joy for the Lord, for all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His." Do you know, when we do what we were created to do, which is to give our God praise and worship, It is amazing how everything else that is troubling us pales into insignificance. You know, it's hard to be thankful and grumpy and critical and angry at the same time. Worship shifts your focus. Praise lifts your spirit. Whether it's planned or spontaneous, you will never know what you're missing if you're not worshiping your Creator with every fiber of your being. Did you notice that Matthew, in this story here, Matthew was very intentional to record and remember the worship of these wise men? He didn't have to put it in. He could have missed that part of the story. We still would have got the gist of what was happening, but he wanted to make it known that it was not normal for adults to bow down and worship a baby in a manger. But this baby they were worshiping was not no ordinary baby. My Bible says that he was and is the author and the perfecter of our faith, the bread of life, the everlasting Father, the good shepherd, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. He is the true vine, the word, the way, the victorious one, our wonderful counselor. Jesus is every name and more, the name above every other name, the savior of the world. Oh, why don't you just take a moment if you believe it and thank Jesus right now. Give him a hand of praise if you believe it. Don't miss Christ this Christmas or forget to include him on your journey altogether. Through the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, learn to worship and you will be filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. Perhaps the keys can come forward as I bring this to a close. Is this helping you tonight? Is it getting you in the Christmas spirit? Kind of. The third lesson from the Magi that's going to help you find joy in your journey is this. Is that you need to give God your best. Matthew 2:11 continues. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you know, you have to admire these wise men. They have followed the leading of a star for months. They have bowed down before anyone and everyone who was in that place to worship Jesus. And then they have presented him with gifts. Gold for his kingship over all the earth. Frankincense as a symbol of deity and divinity, and myrrh as a reminder for the death that was to come. In other words, these wise men came into the presence of Jesus prepared. They gave him what they had. They gave him their best. Do you know, studies show that when you give a gift to someone, a chemical called oxytocin is released in the brain. It is affectionately referred to as the hugging drug. This is true. The hugging drug, as it gives us feelings of warmth towards others. In other words, when we give gifts to people, an inner joy is released. I find that incredible, absolutely incredible, that God designed us, he wired us, he programmed us to experience an oxytocin rush when giving or demonstrating acts of kindness and compassion towards other people. So it is no wonder that Jesus said in Acts chapter 20 that it is more blessed. It is more blessed. You are more blessed to give than you are to receive. You see, giving changes you. It changes you as much as it does the person who is the recipient of your kind and generous acts. Now you may say, okay, Luke, I get that. I understand the whole giving thing to other people and how that works, but what can I give to God? What can I bring to Jesus? I'm far from perfect. My life's a mess. I have zero to offer Him. There is nothing I could do, surely. Surely there's nothing I could do to please God. You're wrong. You're wrong. Bringing your best to Jesus means coming to Him as you are. Have you ever seen those nicely wrapped Christmas presents that are on display in shop front windows? The wrapping paper is on point. The ribbons are tied to perfection. The bows are all big and sparkly. Everything about those presents look great on the outside. But if you were to open one of them, you would soon discover that those presents are empty. There is nothing in them. And yet that is where the real value lies. Not on the exterior. It is what is underneath. You see, you don't need to dress up for God. You don't need to pretend for God. You don't need to put on a facade with God. God is not interested in you being someone you're not. He doesn't want you to pretend that you've got everything about your life in order. Of course, we all want to look great on the outside, but God is interested about what is going on in here. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. He will not despise. A broken, a messed up, a humble heart that comes to Him, God will not despise. He will not push you away from His presence. We read in Romans 8, 5 verse 8, that God showed His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died on a cross and rose from the dead because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you far too much to give up on you. He loves you far too much to walk away from you. He loves you far too much so that when you come to Him with a broken and troubled and messed up heart, that He's going to turn His back on you and walk away and say, just deal with it yourself. God didn't go through all what He went through for that. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've been through. But He also knows what's in you. And He knows where He can take you. He knows what stands before you. Why? Because He handmade you. He knitted you together inside of your mother's womb. He created you in His image. And then God filled you with gifts and talents. Oh, you want to know what you can do to please God and how you can put a smile on His face? Then come to Him as you are. Come to Him as you are. Give Him your whole heart. Use those gifts. Use those talents. Use what He's put in your hand for Him. Oh, you can say it today. God, I don't have much, but what I have is Yours. You can have my heart. You can have my mind. You can have my soul. You can have my finances. You can have my time. You can have my relationships. You can have my talents. You can have my future. God, every single bit of me is Yours. I am Yours. Friend, as I finish, and I promise you I am finishing now, a joy-filled life is a life completely surrendered to Jesus. It is no surprise that the Magi embraced their journey with exceeding joy because they were about to witness a day in history never to be repeated again. The wise men were right all along. Jesus was indeed sovereign. He was indeed God wrapped in flesh before them. He was indeed the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Oh, everything changed. Everything changed the day Jesus was born. Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection was a message of love, a promise of hope, and a statement of joy. And so if you want to have exceeding joy that goes beyond goosebumps and smiles on your good days and strengthens you and upholds you on those gloomy down days, then look to Him. Worship Him. Give Him your best. And you will discover and complete the journey that God has set apart just for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.